24 tonight, if you'd make your way over there. A couple of weeks ago, I started a new series on Wednesday nights on the cults. What we need to know about the cults, there are lots of them out there. And I think the last time I mentioned a bunch that you don't see a whole lot anymore, but you know there's always others that take their place. And according to the Lord himself, we're going to see a proliferation of falsehood in the last days, and no question but that's happening right now. Even on many Christian bookshelves and Christian bookstores, there are books that I would say are questionable at best and outright counterfeit at worst. Some declare a counterfeit Christ and a counterfeit salvation. And they find their way into mainstream Christian bookstores many times. So in Matthew 24, remember, the Lord said when his disciples asked him, what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the world? He said, take heed that no man deceive you, verse 4. Take heed, beware, be on guard, that no man deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive not a few, but many. He says in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many false prophets, many false Christs, many claiming to be Christ. And listen, there are many, even in so-called charismatic circles, that claim we're God. Down in verse 24, same chapter, Jesus said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. That's how profound, how powerful, how persuasive the deception will be in the very last days. And then he said, behold, I've told you before. I have warned you. I've warned you ahead of time. That way, we're to turn on our discernment and leave it on. Discernment can never be turned off. You and I are responsible to discern. We can't let other people do it for us. Praise God when there are people we trust that you know have discernment, but can I tell you, you have to develop discernment yourself. And we do that by knowing the Word, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit within. I want to cover a good bit of ground tonight, so I'm gonna try to roll along a little bit. I want to deal with the various types of cults, because when we talk about cults, you know, they're not all one size. They come in many, many shapes, many, many sizes, many descriptions. There are many different kinds of cults. There are small cults. They may be a handful of people in a house. The Heaven's Gate cult in San Diego, 39 members committed suicide, taking an overdose of phenobarbital. 39. That was pretty much the cult, you know, the entirety of it. I think there were a few that weren't there that probably survived. They could be small. They could be a dozen. They could be a handful. They could be a little larger group, like David Koresh's Branch Davidians, where 80 people were killed in Waco, Texas. You know, a militarized cult hiding in their own compound, heavily armed. Or they could be something quite large. I mean, some cults are enormous and have billions of dollars worth of holdings all over the world, like the Mormons, the biggest cult perhaps of them all, and the richest of them all. Jehovah Witnesses, Scientology, even though Scientology doesn't nearly have the membership of Mormonism or Jehovah Witnesses, they own a lot. I mean, they have a lot of holdings and a lot of properties. Tonight, what I would like to do is talk about 8 different types of cults. That's where we're going to start. We'll see how far we get. like I said, some are massive, some are small, but they do come in all shapes and sizes. There are what are called Eastern cults. Eastern cults. These would be your cults that have a heavy blend of Eastern religion mixed in. And that would be things like heavy doses of Hinduism, or it might be Buddhism or some other ism, Taoism, you know, from China, a little bit of this. All cults are a hodgepodge. They're all syncretic. They borrow from a lot of places. But your Eastern cults would typically include doctrines like reincarnation, karma, meditation, yoga, chanting, you know, things like that. And they're going to come in all shapes and sizes. Years ago, they had a fellow down in Oregon. I don't know if y'all remember this, Rajneesh, the Bhagwan Rajneesh. The Bhagwan was an Indian guru that came to the United States, developed a huge following. Thousands of people gave him everything they had, rich people, movie stars, because he is this, they considered him like God incarnate. You know, they considered him a manifestation of deity. They interviewed him in the 80s, and I want to read just a little bit about what he said. When he died, he had 96 Rolls Royces. Y'all remember this guy? All of his followers dressed in orange. They all wore orange. They lived on the commune. And, you know, he developed some kind of a shouting, screaming therapy. You scream to the top of your voice. And so they showed pictures of all the devotees in a big building, and they all screaming at the top of their voices. You know, you'd think they were at a ball game or something. But so they asked him, they interviewed him in 1981. They said, "Why do you like your Rolls Royces so much?" And he said, "I've tried all kinds of cars, and even Rolls Royce has many types, and I've tried them too." He said, "The best is the Corniche, but," he said, "it doesn't suit me because of my back." He said, I have back problems, and I need a certain kind of seat, you know, to sit in." So he says, "Those cars don't belong to me." He said, "Nothing belongs to me. I am the poorest man in the whole world, living the richest life possible." 96 Rolls Royces. He lived in a compound of 64,000 acres in Oregon. They bought a whole town. They bought a whole town in Oregon. And the people in the surrounding area hated them because they were very belligerent people. They bullied everybody. They were always in trouble with the authorities and so on. But here's what the Bhagwan said. "My people love me. They want to do something for me. All the cars belong to the commune. They have made them available to me for 1 hour every day. I don't know which car they are bringing each day, but one thing is certain, that I can be comfortable only in a Rolls-Royce Silver Spur. And they love me so much that they are trying to have 365 Rolls-Royces so he could ride in a different one every day." Of course, he died, I think, around 1990 and never got to fulfill his wish. In the meantime, y'all don't remember some of this? His cult, people were arrested for biological weapons. They poisoned like 700 people. It's the most, still to this day, the biggest case of biological warfare, I guess you'd say, in the United States. That was Rajneesh's people who did that. Poisoning the town, trying to poison. They tried to kill a deputy or a sheriff or some elected official. Look this guy up, Bhagwan Rajneesh. Yeah. How can you spell that? Bhagwan, Bhagwan, Bhagwan Rajneesh, Rajneesh, I think. Go ahead, brother.
They had a thing called Primal Scream Therapy. Is that from this group or did this group?
I don't know if the
group
originated
get it from
it.
The psychologist or the other way around.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't answer that. But, you know, that was part of his thing, you know. The Yes, ma'am. Rajneesh, R-A-J-N-E-E-S-H, the Rajneesh. Just look that up, Bhagwan Rajneesh. You'll find out a whole lot more than you want to know. I don't think they had a name. They just called him the commune, and he was Bhagwan. You know, he was like the deity. Yeah. They had thousands of them living on his compound. But anyway, that's an example of an Eastern cult. Now most of them are not going to be as big as Rajneesh, but they follow some, generally there'll be some guru, some leader that they will look to who's going to give them a word, you know, from God. But anyway, it's going to be Hinduism it's an Eastern religion. Another category or type of cults are UFO cults. There are more of these than you can shake a stick at. The UFO cults. Heaven's Gates, you know, these were UFO cults. They were following the mothership behind the comet. And Scientology is probably the biggest of the UFO cults. The main tenet of the UFO cults is they believe in the existence of extraterrestrial beings. You know, they're from another planet, or maybe they're from the future. Usually there's some benevolent, highly advanced civilization that wants to show humans how they should live a better life. And evolution is always a part of that, evolution, and usually there's a lot of Hinduism mixed into it. There's always occultism mixed into it because they communicate by telepathy, by ESP, by clairvoyance. There's psychic phenomena. There's astral projection. But anyway, that's a UFO cult. There are numerous religions. You may have heard of some of these, like theosophy, occult, Hindu, New Age, the Aetherius Society, they believed that Jesus and Buddha were from Venus. But you know, UFO cult. Realism, you may have heard of realism. They believed that the earth was created, inhabited by extraterrestrials that they called the Elohim. And then they said foolish people turned them into gods and worshiped them and so forth. Unarius is another of the more popular, I guess you'd say, UFO cults. They believe 33 flying saucers were going to come to California and all land on top of each other. And these people, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of these people. Ashtar Command, another one, they go back to the 1940s. Their leader claims to channel an extraterrestrial being named Ashtar, which, by the way, is a demon in the Bible. You know, but the I Am, the Ascended Masters, that's another name for them. If you look up UFO cults, just do a Google search, UFO cults, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these. It's mind-boggling how many there are. And you know, most of them pretty small, but so Eastern cults, UFO cults, then you have your racist cults. These would be your hate groups that mix a little God in with racial hatred. These would be like your white supremacist cults. Hundreds of white supremacist cults, the Aryan Brotherhood, the Aryan Nation, the KKK, Christian Identity Movement. Most of these groups like that believe in being heavily, heavily armed. You've got some of them, like the Sovereign Nation Movement. They're not only white supremacist, but they want to withdraw from the United States. They claim that they are an independent nation. They live in some military compound somewhere. These are usually very dangerous people. Some of them neo-Nazis, neo-Confederates. They promote racial tension and hatred, defiance of government. Sometimes this stuff infiltrates into churches, in particular in certain parts of the country, Midwest, West. These people develop their compounds and all of that. Militia movement, they usually ripe with racial hatred. There are also the black racist groups, just as well. The Yahweh Ben Yahweh group, I don't know if y'all remember him from back in the 1990s, but his group terrorized South Florida for a long time because he told his followers that they should go out and kill white devils. All white people were devils. They were descendants of devils, and that his group should go kill them and bring body parts back as proof of the kill. The Hebrew, the black Hebrew Israelite movement, Lonnie bumped into some of those out witnessing on the street. They are very militant. The Nation of Yahweh, the Nation of Islam. You know, by the way, some of these mix in a hodgepodge of other things as well, like the Nation of Islam. It's not Islamic. It's not Christian. It's got a little bit of UFO religion mixed in with it because that's what they believe, you know, a little UFO religion mixed in, their own views of racial superiority and so forth. So UFO cults, Eastern cults, racial hatred type cults, often very militant. Then you have your political cults. Now, these are groups that have diverse beliefs and they wrap it in a flag. Basically, it's a hodgepodge, a little bit of Christianity, a little bit of hatred, maybe some Eastern religion or UFO religion thrown in. Whatever it is, you wrap it in a flag and you've got one of your political cults. And you can wrap it in any flag. Doesn't matter. Confederate flag, Nazi flag, American flag, flag from another country. You've got New Age cults. These are all over the nation, all over the world. They are also a hodgepodge, a blend of UFO religion. You usually find that in there somewhere. Paganism. New Age borrows heavily from paganism. They borrow from occultism, magic, sorcery, witchcraft. There's Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, superstition, nonsense, often a guru, often a woman leader of many of the New Age type cults. These are all over the place. Then your magic cults. Magic, whether dark magic or so-called white magic, they're all dark magic, by the way. Your magic cults are steeped in occultism. These would be groups like your witchcraft, Wiccan groups, occultism, spells, sorcery, sexuality, eroticism, all of this plays a part in it. A little bit of lesbianism, some Satanism, demon worship. You would include in magic cults things like your voodoo cult, Santeria, vampirism. Hundreds of thousands of people are trapped in your these kind of cults, your magic cults. Personality cults, that's another kind. This is where people gather around the words or the teaching of a single individual. They elevate that individual to a almost a deity status. He's the father or their leader or their guru, or, you know, his words are inspired, or maybe he possesses some supernatural knowledge, they think, or supernatural gifting. One thing's for sure, you never question their leader because his words are divine, no matter what kind of nonsense they utter. Whatever they teach, they swallow, they follow. That's your personality cults. They just gravitate around a particular personality. The Moonies, Sun Myung Moon, is an example. Jim Jones, an example. David Koresh would be an example of that as well. And then where we will spend our time, the pseudo-Christian cults. Pseudo meaning false, spurious, counterfeit. The pseudo-Christian cults. These are groups, whether large or small, that profess to be Christian, appear to be Christian, but they deviate doctrinally from the Christian faith, or they deviate usually doctrinally and behaviorally from biblical Christianity. So a pseudo-Christian cult, I mean, it looks like Christianity, it looks like one thing, but it's not. They profess to be Christians, but they aren't. They teach doctrines that are counterfeit, that are contrary to Scripture. They teach a false Christ, a false way of salvation. And they claim, usually in a group like this, they will have some claim to have rediscovered an ancient truth that's been lost maybe for centuries. Christianity has been in the darkness for hundreds of years, but their leader has discovered or had some revelation. So any thoughts come to your mind of what might constitute a pseudo-Christian cult? Dave? JWs, sure. Mormons, that's right.
Yeah, Seventh-day Adventists. They're really nice people, and they claim to believe the Bible, but they also add Ellen G. White to it.
That's correct. I would include them as well. Seventh-day Adventism. They add the writings of Ellen G. White. Ellen E. G. White. You'll see her books. Sometimes you see them in Christian places.
But and she's really considered a prophet on the same order as Isaiah.
She is considered their guiding light. That is correct. Let's give the microphone to our sister. Oh.
They add to it, in other words, because they tell you, I've met a lot of, like you said, they're beautiful, play all the praise music, believe Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. Well, what do they add to it?
Seventh-day Adventism, we're going to take at least 1 week and talk specifically about Seventh-day Adventism, but you know, they believe in a work salvation. They have their own peculiar belief in the investigative judgment of Christ. I don't want to get into it tonight, but Seventh-day Adventism, you know, they insist that you have to observe the Saturday Sabbath.
Yeah,
and if you worship on Sunday, Sunday worshipers take the mark of the beast.
I know they don't eat no pork.
No, they won't eat pork.
They go to the
They had, for a long time, the largest vegetarian cafeteria in the country, maybe in the world. No, I don't know, maybe not the world, but at least in the country. But the writings of Ellen G. White, her guiding light, their guiding light, are considered inspired Scripture. So we will talk about them at some length in the near future, because you are going to bump into Seventh-day Adventism. Let me tell you, they're all over Christian TV. And that's right, they're on Christian TV. I saw one the other night, and this guy was a smooth talker, and you had no idea until he started talking about keeping the Sabbath. You would have no idea that these people were Seventh-day Adventists and that they teach a spurious Christ. Of course, like all cults, Seventh-day Adventism looks like it's a monolithic structure, like they all believe exactly the same thing, when in fact they really don't, because there are sects, S-E-C-T-S, within Seventh-day Adventism. There's a difference between a sect and a cult, by the way. A sect could be a branch of Christianity, like we could say Protestantism has many sects, S-E-C-T-S. That could be your Presbyterian church, your Baptist church, your Lutheran church, your Church of God. Those are sects within a religion. Judaism has various sects, S-E-C-T-S. You've got your Orthodox, you've got your conservatives, you've got your liberals, and so on. But a cult is a different thing altogether, because it is its own entity and deviates. Our study, we're going to concentrate on the pseudo-Christian cults, because as you can see, you start talking just about UFO cults, you could spend 10 years. And what's the purpose? They're all whack jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as they start talking about extraterrestrials and, you know, they're communicating by telepathy, astral projection, or they have someone that is actually a trance medium that is channeling an alien from another planet. You know what they're really channeling? A demon that's giving them false revelation. This stuff goes on all the time in these UFO religions and the Eastern religions and so on. But anyway, there is a branch within Seventh-day Adventism that leans towards evangelical Christianity. And even though they keep the Sabbath, they will tell you it's not necessary for salvation. But that is a sect of Seventh-day Adventism, a group within the cult, I guess you would say. But some of them, I believe, could possibly be, you know, genuinely saved. But the mainline, old-school, historic Seventh-day Adventist, they follow Ellen G. White. I saw a hand. Was that you, Vida? Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to ask, I know about the sect, as it's a sect.
Sects.
Okay.
Well, sect isn't necessarily bad.
Oh,
cult, the word cult's always bad. But,
amen. But I wanted to ask, I know you're talking about cults. Is the Catholics a cult?
Well, that's a story that we'll have to get
they
to.
They keep on adding and adding and adding and adding. That's why I ask. They just keep adding stuff.
Well, let me tell you, there are many who would categorize Roman Catholicism as a cult. But before we can answer that question, we have to ask the question, what is a cult? What makes a group a cult?
Yeah.
How do you identify a cult if you bumped into one? Because they don't advertise, you know. So, you know, there's no way that we could identify all the various cults, offshoots of the cults, branches of the cults, and so on, because you'd be here until eternity. But we will try to identify some of the major players, expose at least some of their major heresies, and I want us to know how to identify a cult if we bumped into one. Or a religious group, maybe a sect, maybe a church even, that has cultish tendencies. So we start with a definition. What's a cult? And it depends. The answer to it really does depend on who you ask. Because according to the definition in the dictionary, let me read you Webster's definition. Webster's definition is a religion regarded as unorthodox or spurious. Also, its body of adherents. So the voodoo, you know, they use like a voodoo cult or a satanic cult as an example. A religion regarded as unorthodox. Well, the Roman Catholic Church would say you're a cult. A second definition they give is a great devotion to a person, an idea, an object, a movement, or a work. The object of such devotion, usually a small group of people characterized by such devotion. Sometimes they use the cult in the word cult in a secular way, like a certain band has a cult following, or they'll call a movie it has a cult following. It just means that there's a group of people who really love it and they follow it and so on. And then Webster also defines it as a system of religious beliefs and ritual. But, you know, these definitions are far too general and too vague. So we want to look to what would a Christian's definition of a cult be? How would we understand what a cult is? According to the Christian Research Institute, CRI, they do a lot of cult exposes and they do a lot of apologetics against cults. They say there's two ways to define a cult. First, they say a cult is a religious or semi-religious sect whose members are controlled almost entirely by a single individual or by an organization. They say this kind of group is usually manipulative, demands total commitment and loyalty from its followers, and converts are usually cut off from all former associations, including their own families. And so the CRI gives a few examples like the Hare Krishnas, the Family of Love, that was the Moses David guy we talked about last week, the Children of God, remember? Sun Myung Moon's cult, Jim Jones, David Koresh, they would all fall into those kind of cults. Secondly, CRI says, a cult is any group that deviates from the orthodox teachings of the historic Christian faith being derived from the Bible and confirmed through the ancient creeds. Simply stated, cults teach things contrary to the Bible. Dave, you had a comment or a question? Oh, okay. Another organization called Cult Watch, they also had two main definitions of what a cult is. They said, first, it's a group that uses manipulative psychological mind control techniques to recruit and control their members. These techniques might be love bombing like the Family of God would do. They would pretend all of this love. They would feign love and affection and all that, sometimes even seducing people sexually. They might use emotional blackmail. It might include keeping people away from their friends and family, isolating them physically and emotionally. You know, you want to beware of any group that wants to isolate you from your family or from all other contact. One of the things that Jehovah's Witnesses does very successfully is they brainwash their people into thinking you can't read anything else except what comes from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And anything else you read can poison your mind, and, you know, you let the devil in. So they isolate them. Cults thrive in isolation. When people won't read, you know, you won't do any investigation, you won't study the history, you won't even study the Bible apart from their material. Cults thrive when they can isolate you from information or when they can isolate you from family and other influences. So Cult Watch also gives a second definition. They say any group that claims to be a Christian group yet teaches something that is not primarily a Christian belief. So obviously, if a group claims to be a Christian group, but they teach that Jesus is an alien from another planet, they might be a cult. Or if your leader came from an insane asylum and, you know, he had this revelation that he was Elijah or whatever. There's a guy named Stephen Eichel. He is supposed to be an international cult expert. He's president of the International Cultic Studies Association. He says there are 10,000 active cults in America today, right now. They interviewed him on 48 Hours, and he said most cults are very small. They try to stay under the radar. They don't want to show up on anybody's radar. And they don't try to draw attention to themselves. But here's what they asked him on 48 Hours, what constitutes a cult? And here was his answers. First of all, manipulation. He said you got to beware of any kind of pressure. That's the single biggest thing to watch out for, pressure. Pressure to whether it's to join, pressure to forsake all of your associations, or they're very manipulative. So you want to beware of manipulation. Number two, beware of any leader who proclaims himself or herself as having special powers or special insight or if they claim to be divine. So obviously you want to beware of that. Thirdly, a third warning is secretiveness. Cults are very secretive. The group tends to be closed. So even though there may be followers, you know, outside followers, the group hides what it believes or what they practice. There's always a lot of secrecy in these cults. Deception is another thing this fellow said. He said they'll use deceptive means. They'll advertise. Maybe they won't tell you who they are. Seventh-day Adventists are famous for that. They do their big revelation flyers. They put them out. They come in your mail, very colorful. Revelation seminar, Antichrist, end of the world, very colorful, very attention-grabbing. But they never tell you that they're Seventh-day Adventists. They hide their identity. Even on TV, that's what they do. They never tell you who they are. They're very, very deceptive. Another of the things this fellow pointed out, Eichel, he said, is exploitation. Cults will exploit their members. Always financially, but often they'll exploit you even sexually or, you know, manipulatively. Normal rules don't apply to the cult leaders. And then there are these very ominous threats over every person who belongs if you ever leave. You know, these ominous threats that hang over you. Horrible things are going to happen to you. So there is no way a person can keep their reputation intact if they ever left a cult. Because the cult is going to call you an apostate, a defector, a devil, a hostile. The Jehovah Witnesses mark shun, disfellowship, ostracize, even their own family. Their own family won't talk to them. Disfellowship them. Mormons will call those who leave Jack Mormons or antis. Scientology labels those who leave suppressives, or they give them an initial, a PTS. They're a PTS, a potential trouble source. There is no honorable way to exit from a cult. Anybody who leaves is immediately labeled as a deceiver, an antichrist, a devil, an enemy, an apostate, and they're demonized and so on. You know, I know churches that do that with people who leave. If a person leaves a church, man, they will talk so bad about them. They'll destroy their reputations. They'll call them a demon, a devil, and every other kind of thing. No, nobody, no pastor wants to see people leave. I hate it when people leave, you know, but they do. I mean, it just happens. People leave. Sometimes they move away. Sometimes they, who knows, they just go somewhere else. I've had people tell me, well, I just feel like I need to go somewhere else. Well, I always hate to see people go, but you have to provide for them an honorable exit. So if they tell me they're going to go and they, you know, they just feel like the Lord's leading them elsewhere, if I know where they're going is a good place, that it's you know, the pastor's a godly man or whatever, and that they're biblically sound, I'll tell them, God bless you. We pray for you. I ask the Lord to bless you and the Lord to increase you and just cause you to grow. If I know where they're going is not a good place, then I'll do my best to warn them. And I've had to do that before. We had a young man, took his whole family, had wife and a bunch of kids. And he told me, the Lord's leading me to leave the church and go somewhere else. And I said, well, where are you going? And he told me where he was going to go. I said, that's not the Lord leading you. Because I knew what was going on in the particular church that he claimed he was going to go to. And it wasn't, it's where you came out of and where a bunch of others came out of. But I told him, do not go there. That's not the Lord leading you there. But he insisted it was. Well, I couldn't persuade him otherwise. He left, and the end was not good. He's divorced from his wife now, and that, you know, that church fell apart because of a lot of reasons, but sin, yeah.
Sin.
Go ahead, sister.
Is it on? Oh, I just want you to know that you're safe because I'm not going nowhere because I visited a couple of churches just for Spanish because I like Spanish worship. You know that? And we were just talking about that, me and Katie. What's out there, it's crazy. There's no churches out there that are preaching the word. You know, sound doctrine. It's like, it's crazy, Pastor Tardo. I went to a church a few weeks ago before the, and the lady had a round chairs and rocks, and everybody had to take one that was like faith, hope, and it was a Spanish church, and you had to give a Bible verse. Well, I didn't really want to pick up the rock. My family used to do Santerias with rocks. So when they asked me, do I want to participate, I said no. So I wound up leaving and very, very uncomfortable. So you're safe. I'm not leaving. I love
you.
You're safe
too.
Praise God.
You know, I don't like it when they do certain things. I don't even like it when they say, all right, everybody stand up and tell a person next to you that you're going to get blessed today. Well, you know, I don't even like that because I don't like being manipulated. I don't like people telling me what to tell anybody. I mean, if I say shake somebody's hand or hug somebody's neck, that's one thing. But I do not like people manipulating me. I don't know if I need to get prayer against that, but I don't like getting... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I feel like it's control, and I can't...
Control, yeah, I don't like being controlled.
I wanted to ask you about Amish.
The Amish?
You know, the people that...
Yeah,
go
and the buggies and all?
That they don't go to, they don't go outside of there and...
Yeah, they live in a commune.
They live in a commune and they don't use electric or
right.
Nothing. Well, isn't that a cult? Because they
yes.
Come against you when you leave.
Yeah, they tend to be very cultish.
But they're so religious.
They shall bless, everything they touch is blessed.
They're very cultish.
They're cultish?
Yeah. Okay. We'll probably talk about the Amish a little bit. Just because of some of their unique peculiarities. Pass that down to Dave. You got one. Go ahead, Dave.
And in a small town, too, the cult is going to be able to control you much better because here it's a metropolitan area. You know, you
right.
got all these people. But in a small town like my brother lives, where there's, you know, 50,000 or fewer people, and the Jehovah's Witness is a big thing here, and you got nowhere else to go. You know, not all Amish completely avoid electricity. There are certain things that they will allow it for, and they're not completely cut off from society. As they're growing up, they tell the teenagers, okay, if you want to go explore the world, go ahead. Afterward, we love you if you come back, and they do get the choice. It depends which place, too.
Yeah, and there's differences in the Amish groups. There are differences in the Amish groups. Let's go back to what is a cult. I think one of the genuine authorities on cults in my generation was Walter Martin. He wrote the book Kingdom of the Cults, and it's still that book, even though it's probably 30 years old, it's still the standard, I think, for cult information. Here's what he said. He said, a cult is a group of people gathered around a specific person's misinterpretation of the Bible. I thought that was a great definition. He said, a cult is a group of people gathered around a specific person's misinterpretation of the Bible. He also said that cults are groups that claim to be in harmony with Christianity, but they deny fundamental Christian doctrines,
yeah.
such as the Trinity, the deity of Christ, and so on. You know, Matthew 7, verses 15, 16, 17, Jesus gave us a warning. He said that cults will look and act and sound like Christians, but they will be wolves in sheep's clothing, and that their fruit would eventually give them away. There are a handful of doctrinal beliefs that all Christians must adhere to. We must all adhere to the inspiration of Scripture, that is, that we believe the Bible is inspired, fully inspired in all of its parts. We must believe in the virgin birth of Christ. We must believe in the deity of Christ, that is, He is fully God. We must believe in the substitutionary blood atonement of Christ, that is, that Christ died for our sins. We must believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Christ, a physical, literal bodily resurrection, and in the return of Christ. These are fundamental beliefs. We must believe these things. We can have differences on other matters and still be Christians, as long as we adhere to these fundamental beliefs. Go ahead, Dave.
And tied into the deity of Christ is the uniqueness of Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses do say, oh yeah, Jesus is a God, but they say he's one of the highest of the angels and so forth. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, not true divinity, not true deity. Yeah, but you're right, the unique deity of Christ. But to deny any of those fundamentals, to deny any of them, makes a group, a person, organization less than Christian. In fact, it puts them into the realm of heresy, and we would label them false teachers and cults.
To add anything to it, you don't add. In other words,
you don't add or subtract to.
You don't add anything to the false until Jesus.
Correct, but now here's the reason why some groups would not say that Catholicism is a cult. Like Walter Martin didn't believe Catholicism was a cult because they believe in the virgin birth, the inspiration of Scripture, the deity of Christ, the blood atonement, but they do add a bunch of things. But they adhere to those fundamentals, and adhering to those fundamentals, they've added so many other things that you can't even get to Christ unless you go through Mary and the saints and so forth. So, yes, ma'am.
You said that they believe in the Virgin and Scripture, but they also, a lot of the things that you pointed out about a cult having one leader that dominates, there was a lot of characteristics that you were going through.
Oh, yeah.
And the Catholics dominated all of them, a lot of them, not all of them, but the majority of what you were targeting. Like in the 1500s, they obligated people to turn to Catholicism. And I think some of the cardinals in like the 1400s, 1500s, they all died of syphilis and all that. That's a venereal contracted disease.
Well, they have a sordid history.
Yes, yeah, so without, a lot of the stuff that you were pointing out puts them in a cult because they teach false, and a cult is characterized by teaching false teachings.
And there are many who would say that Roman Catholicism is the biggest cult of them all.
But we have many Christian churches teaching false doctrine. Don't mean that they're a cult.
True.
You know, even though they're
that is
teaching,
true.
I think it's out of ignorance or I don't know, but they're teaching a lot of, it's out of the Bible, but
this is true.
Them. So you couldn't
just
call
because somebody teaches
something
false,
different, you can't call them a cult.
Not necessarily. They could be an error without being a cult. Yeah. That's right. Dave?
Well, but, you know, back to the Catholic Church, the Spanish Inquisition was a whole lot worse than what the Jehovah's Witnesses and everybody else does, where they cut off contact, where they cut off your head back then. Didn't follow the Pope, then you would be tortured to death. So that's pretty much a mark of a cult.
That's right. Look with me over to 2 Peter. I want to look at a passage over here. If you would turn with me just a verse or two. 2 Peter chapter 2. Why do we study these things, Brother Rusty? Well, the Lord told us that we were warned, right? And notice 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. He's talking to the Christians. There will be false teachers among you who privately, this is subtly, cunningly, deceptively, will bring in, they'll bring something in from the outside. They'll bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. But don't worry, nobody will listen to them. Verse 2. And many will follow their pernicious ways. Interesting word. It means, sometimes it's translated immoral, sometimes sensual, ungodly. But their pernicious ways, because their behavior won't line up with Christian behavior, and their beliefs won't line up with Christian beliefs. And the Bible says, and by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Isn't that something? They'll talk evil about the truth. And notice, verse 3, and through greed, through covetousness, shall they with feigned words, made up words, make merchandise of you. They will exploit you. They want your money. He says, they'll make merchandise of you whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, their damnation slumbers not. But here's the warning, deceptive. They'll bring things in. They'll bring them into the church, into Christianity, into their teachings from outside of the Bible, outside of Christianity. So look, False prophets will arise from right within the church. We see the same thing in Acts 20. He says, after my departing shall grievous wolves come in among you. They'll rise up right among you, not sparing the flock. So there's warnings all over. Cults, by the way, are not new. They've had cults right from the first century. We saw in the scriptures before where they had to deal with the legalist. In Galatians, they had to deal with the Gnostics in 1 John and other schismatics that reject biblical truth, biblical doctrine, and so on. So here's something else I want to mention. I think we're going to have to quit for tonight. But cults, not everything they say is wrong. You know, we talked a little while ago about Ellen G. White. Ellen G. White was somewhat of an enigma because she said some really bizarre things, but she also said things that were true. And you can read some of her material and just read page after page after page and agree with it. And then you get to parts about how the soul is not immortal, there is no hell, annihilation of the wicked, and investigative judgment, keeping the worshiping on Sundays the mark of the beast. But not everything they say is wrong. That's the deceptive part of it. Not everything the Jehovah's Witnesses say is wrong. Not even everything the Mormons say is wrong. They emphasize family life and things like that, but everything they say is tainted by their own interpretations, and it's polluted by their errors and twisted to support their own view of salvation and the scriptures. You know what I read just this past week? The majority of Mormon converts came from Baptist churches.
Yes, and Catholic too.
Isn't that interesting? That how do they get people in to swallowing this stuff? Well, the fact is that most Christians aren't very well grounded in their faith. They think they are, but they're really not. Yes, ma'am.
I was taught many years ago about money and making the bank. They said they teach you what the real money is, and you'll know the false.
So, yeah.
And also, it's like that 98% of rat poisoning kills. It's good for the rat. It's fattening for the rat. But 2% kills it. And I think that's what we have to look at, the 2%.
Yeah.
Because they say they sound good, they look good, they even speak sometimes scriptures. You know,
sure.
But if we don't know our word, if you really study your word and pray, you'll know that 2% will kill you.
Right. Oh, yes, ma'am.
That is the tactics of the enemy.
They can't hear you.
Is it on?
Isn't that a tactic of the enemy, a strategy of the enemy, in that, you know, he works by the power of suggestion. And if they use enough persuasiveness and leave out the key, denying the power thereof, I didn't hear you mention that particular scripture. But so most people can be overtaken. I mean, they want someone to tickle their ears. That's what they want.
Right.
They want that feel good, that instant microwave instantaneous feel good.
Sure. Next week, what I want to do is give you specific marks, specific characteristics of cults, so that we just narrow it down a little bit more and just give you 5 or 6 or 7 specific characteristics of cults. That'll give you something to hang on to, you know, that you see these things, these red flags, you know. Because like I said, they don't advertise. Well, Father, we pray tonight that you help us to be diligent students of your word, to know the truth, to love your truth, and Lord, to hold fast to it. Our prayer, Lord, is that you equip us so that we might help deliver others who are trapped in these cults. Lord, we know that you have people that are lost in cults, just as we were lost in sin. There are many lost in cults that you would rescue, Lord. And our prayer is that you would help us, enable us, bless us, use us as rescuers, bringers of light into the dark world of cults. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a brother in Canada that watches us online that told me he was a, you know, we corresponded. He was a former Jehovah's Witness. He was 10 years in the Watchtower organization, and then he got saved. And I asked him, what opened your eyes? What brought you to the truth of Christianity? And here's what he said. He said, I saw so much hypocrisy. He said, I saw so much control, controlling people's lives, even, you know, minor, every part of your life. I saw the hypocrisy in the leadership. I saw that. And he said, and people, I had gone to some Christians' doors, and they kept telling me that the only way is Jesus. Not an organization, no organization. But Jesus Christ is the Savior. He alone is the Savior. Read your Bible. He said, I couldn't get away from those words. The more I read the Bible, the more I was convinced that they were right and that I was wrong. He said, when I told them at the Kingdom Hall that I was going to quit coming, they disfellowshipped me. And they disowned him. But today he serves the Lord. Praise God. And if you're watching tonight, brother, God bless you.